Welcome to Let's Take a Journey. Today, I'm sitting with my guest. He is a professional American football player in the German Football League, playing for the Wildcats this year. He is also a national championship with Ripon in college. He is an influencer. He's a content creator. You may have seen him personal training as well. He is no other than Donicio Herrera. How are you doing today, Donicio?
I'm doing great, Zach. Thank you for the introduction. I appreciate that so much. It's just great. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good myself. Happy to be here. Happy to have you as my first guest here as recording this. This episode feels sort of fitting as it was your birthday, March 7th yesterday. So we'll get to talk a little bit about your life and just talk about that journey now that you're a quarter century into this.
Oh, yeah. It's a quarter life crisis, I like to say. But more or less, like you said, quarter living, quarter life, quarter century. But it's good to be here. I'm truly blessed and just thankful.
So let's talk about your life a little bit and just kind of talk about your journey. We'll start a little bit back further as people will start to ask or question. You're my cousin, so we've kind of been through this. We've been together for at least tightly for the last 11 years now or so. So let's take it back even back a little bit further. Let's talk about a little bit about your childhood, the way you were growing up. What would you say are some of your most distinct or your best memories from that sort of era of your life?
Ooh, growing up as a kid, I mean, for me, I would say the best thing growing up was just having my friends and family around, having them sleepovers with the boys, just doing things like that, staying up late, not having to worry about what food I'm really eating because I'm going to burn it off eventually because I'm just a kid. And just really having that energy, just be able to pull all-nighters and staying up late and not really have to worry about that. I think that was like the best part, as well as not have to worry about bills. That's another good part as a kid, is not worrying about that and just enjoying summer. But I'll say those are my distinct memories for sure.
As we sort of introduced, you're definitely a professional football player. So you're one of the two professionals that I know in our family that made it that far. Let's talk about like sports as a youth. What was that like for you?
Honestly, it's really fitting that we're actually doing this podcast interview in my weight room at my house, because honestly, this is where it all started. Like, I have a banner hanging. You guys can't see it right now, but it says "Success starts with me." And honestly, it's been like that since I was a kid growing up. That I'm not gonna lie, I was bullied growing up. I had big ears, buck teeth, glasses, and even a speech impediment problem. But you know, I always had an outlet in sports, either if it was football, wrestling, baseball, just everything. But my main sport was football for sure. And just growing up with football and always wanting to be dedicated to it and wanting to be a professional football player, the dream was always NFL. You know, that's what you know as a kid and you want and strive to be, is to be an NFL player. But honestly, you know, God had a different path for me. And he said, hey, football isn't just here in America, but it's across seas. So I play professional football in Germany. This is going to be my second pro season, sophomore year, and I'm just excited for the sequel. But as far as growing up with the sports and with athletics, like just having the hard work, dedication, commitment, discipline to do it, not to go out to parties all the time, not to, you know, eat when I'm not supposed to, drink when I'm not supposed to, but also to be a leader myself and to do what I want to do what is good for me in my sport.
I think that's very inspirational and motivational. I coach basketball myself, which people may or may not know listening to this. Growing up, were you just playing football, or was there a bunch of sports that you tried out?
Okay, let's just put it this way. I was a basketball player, but I played it like I was a wrestler. So, no, I definitely played every sport, and I would definitely tell parents, as I'm a trainer and coach as well, as I tell them, like, try and get your kid in any sport. You don't know what they're going to be at. You don't know what, you know, life is going to turn to them. They could sit here and be a racquetball player and then be pro in the Olympics for racquetball. Like, you never know. So I would definitely say play every sport that you can. I did swimming. I did track. I did lacrosse. Lacrosse didn't last long. Neither did soccer. But, you know, I just found what I liked and what I didn't like. Like, you never know. So you definitely got to go out there and just try them all. It's like trying every ice cream flavor. You don't know which one you're going to like.
So what made you decide to focus so much on the football aspect of things versus all these other sports that you had? What led you to that sport particularly?
I would have to say it was me and my dad, because growing up, my dad always loved the Broncos. And at first, I didn't even know teams, really. Like, watching an NFL game, I was like, ooh, who are we cheering for? I just cheered for the cooler uniform, to be honest, which is funny. But no, once I saw, like, my dad loved football, and his dad, which was my grandpa, which I never met because he was a state champ as well for football, and I just inspired and wanted to just follow in the family footsteps, but, like, just take it further, which I never knew I could. But football was it was always my sport. It was the team camaraderie, the ability to go out there and hit somebody, but, like, feel good and just have that good sportsmanship with it as well. It just attracted me.
I think you mentioned there a couple of things, and I think we'll come back to the football talk. I think what I want to lead this conversation into, particularly since you're kind of mentioning this thing, let's talk a little bit about your father and sort of the influence he had on your life. Like you talked about, I love your father. He's an incredible man. He's been great to me. He's been great to my family and everyone around him. You talked about the influence he had on you on football. What was it like to have him as your father, I guess, kind of reflecting back as a kid, now that you're a little bit more adult and grown up?
Honestly, now that I'm an adult and I'm grown up and I kind of see the struggles that adult men have to go through in an everyday basis, I mean, man, like he's my hero for sure, just because everything he had to do to lead me up. Like, there's this one YouTube video I always listen to, and it says, you know, check on your kids, check on their goals, check on their dreams, make sure that they're aligned with the path and on what they want to do. Don't, like, just have them still chase that dream and have them make that goal. And for me, that's what he always did. He always checked in on me and make sure I was good, either if it was in sports or if it was in the classroom, if it was with my friends, if it was with my social life, just all around, just always checking in on me and making sure I'm do what I'm supposed to do. Like, he didn't, so that's where the father came in. It was like he made sure, like, I did it for myself and gave me the responsibility. So now that I'm older, like, I know what it's like to be a man and to have the responsibility of myself to do it. But growing up, like I said, he was my hero. He was always there for me. He was my coach as well growing up for wrestling, which I thought wrestling was going to be my sport, considering he was a 2-time All-American in college. So I thought that's what my path led me. But, you know, I know my other father, which is God, gave me a different path, which was football.
Let's take you back to just some memories, just kind of thinking back to sort of your youth athletics. What is it? What are your memories of your father out there? Because I've been to a few of your sporting events as you were kind of growing up. Your dad is, I'd say, is a super dad. He's 100% probably the most charismatic dude that I think anyone may ever meet. He's a mayor of every town. He's very charismatic. But him out there just filming and recording you and you being able to come back and sort of watch those tapes with him. And then particularly now, you still have probably some of those tapes that you guys go back and watch. What's that sort of like?
Oh, my gosh. What's funny is that I was actually playing one of my college films because he recorded it, and I was playing it back and just watching it. Like, I never watched it before, but hearing the commentary, it was mostly the commentary because, you know, you're out there on the field. You don't know what they're saying up there in the stands with the other parents. It had me dying, just sitting there laughing and smiling like, man, like, these are memories. These are what I'm going to show my kids and my grandkids on, like, hey, like, Pop, this is your grandpa. This was him, you know, back in the day. But having my dad be there and be present to have the camera and to just capture the moment, like, live, like how we're doing this right now, like we're capturing this moment right now. Like, that's what he did for my whole childhood, middle school, high school, college, and now even professional career. Because, I mean, like you said, he is a go-out crazy fan. Everyone loves him. Even the Germans love him because he came to Germany dressed up as a spider luchador. So he was the Mexican spider out there, and everyone loved it. It was so awesome.
Yeah, just give people some background information on that. Dionisio played last year in Germany, of course. Again, I played for a team called the Spiders. It's probably an interesting introduction to a lot of these German folks with a happy-go-lucky Mexican guy just running out there and talking to all each other with the German culture. Probably something they're not 100% used to, but I'm sure the professional football fans out there really enjoyed having him out there for sure. Let's keep talking a little bit about family here. For me, and I know for you, family is a very big topic and a big thing and a big inspiration. I mean, we talked a little bit about your father and sort of his inspiration on you. I think he's huge, but let's talk a little bit about the rest of your family. You guys are a very, 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 very close-knit bunch. Is there anyone else that you want to focus on? I particularly want to talk about your mom and your sister.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just say we're a tight-knit family. We're a couple of peas in a pod. But for my mom, like, my mom was my mom. She was always there for me. She gave me everything I needed and gave me everything I never knew I wanted. Like that, and I told her that because she asked me actually this year. She asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I told her, I was like, "Mom, you gave me everything. Like I didn't even know I need it. I didn't even know I want it." But my mom, yeah, she's always been there for me. She always took care of me, made sure I was good, nurtured me through bad times to just make sure I have a good mindset when I grow up. And as far as my sister, let's just say she's my oldest sister, but she's not my bigger sister now. Like she was bigger back in the day, but not anymore. But for her, she was like that older brother for me. She was definitely hard on me. She, I want to say bullied me, but she showed me tough love. So I wouldn't be bullied when I grew up. So I know how to stand up for myself. And for that, like, I appreciate her so much. She still takes care of me to this day. I still love her because she is my sister. She's the one I could always go to talk to and if I have problems with.
I think they're each incredible. Your mom is probably one of the most fun people, but she's also kind of scary at times for sure. As for some people that are known, maybe eventually we'll talk to his mom. She works with the troubled children, is what we'll say. So her working and throwing kids around is something that she does train on. So stay in line for Donicia was, I think, pretty easy.
Yeah. That's a daily job for her, throwing kids around. So for me, it was no problem.
All right. One thing we didn't kind of mention here is you also have an older brother. Would anything you'd like to say about him sort of helping you grow up, or just sort of the insight on life that he kind of gave you, either as just sort of a talk or just kind of watching him do his life?
Honestly, I'll say the biggest thing watching my older brother on how he did his life and mine was, okay, this is what you're not supposed to do. Let's just put it that way, where, you know, family, of course, family's family, but, you know, sometimes people just still off in the wrong direction, and you just got to know, like, okay, like, don't do what they did. Follow your own path, and like I said, be your own leader and just create your own destiny for your journey up ahead.
Yeah, no, and I we're not here to talk down on anyone. It's everyone has a sort of a different perspective on life and journeys they want to take and sort of trails they want to travel. I think your older brother's doing his thing. He looks much happier now than he probably was before, but I'm happy he's here, and I'm happy he kind of gave you a different little look on life that you might have not had considering what you had going on here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own start and finish, so it just all depends on where they want to go and where they want to take it.
Life is not always easy, and I think we'll probably jump into a little bit of a more tough topic for you. We'll kind of jump into sort of high school for you, kind of talk about that. We know, at least from my outside hearings, I know you had a little bit of trouble sort of mostly in high school and athletics and that sort of ordeal.
Oh, yeah. Well, to start that off, like, let me just take it from here. Zach, thank you. So for me, going into high school, like, I just wanted to be the starter on varsity. I wanted to be on varsity as a freshman, just do all that. Just be the go-getter, the yes coach, no coach, just first in line, first in, last out type of guy. And that's how I was going all the way up to my senior year. And, you know, I definitely had trouble with injuries for the first 2 years, freshman, sophomore year, in more or less wrestling than football. I fractured my hip, tore my labrum on my shoulder freshman, sophomore year. And then coming back junior year, you know, did great on varsity for football and even did great in wrestling, went to state. Going up into senior year, I had the opportunity to go to Australia and play football. So I could definitely say I've played football across the world. And meeting guys in Australia and seeing the opportunity, like, man, like, we only get one season, you know. Just like any of those movies, you could say Friday Night Lights. You could say, you know, maybe even Varsity Blues. You could say just any of those shows that it's like, it's that one season with those characters and that goal and that reason for it. And I wanted that for us. I wanted us to be the team that, you know, that was the underdogs, the ones that came together as a family, that had each other's backs. But going into the season, honestly, it wasn't like that at all. I had underclassmen talking back to me just because they didn't want to work hard. It was more or less I wanted to keep everybody in check, in line, for it to be a leader. But they didn't see it that way. And then it was even worse that I had a dick head coach, but not just because his name was Richard. So he definitely didn't help me at all in that scenario. And so that even led me to getting benched to my senior night game for the whole second half and having just not a good taste in my mouth for football after that. Like, I thought for me, that was it. I thought I was going to go to college for wrestling and that was going to be it. But luckily, like I said, God still had his hands on my storybook, on my chapter, and he led me to go to college in Wisconsin to play football. Division 3 out there, And the stigma with the Division III players is that, you know, they're not the best, but it's like, it's just, it's looked at that way. But honestly, I didn't look at the stigma at all. I'm just looking at, I'm getting the opportunity to play football for another 4 years with guys that actually want to be here, that want to work out and that want to win. So from my high school to college experience, it was night and day. From high school, it was, you know, guys showing up just to put a jersey on for they could walk in the hallways and say, oh, look at me, I'm a varsity player. And it's like, okay, cool, but I want more. I want to do more. And then, honestly, that's where college led me. Freshman and sophomore year, I was out running back for the slot wishbone. So, yeah, it was triple option. We didn't do a lot of passing. It was a lot of running, which was great for me because I was a running back. But then when we got done with that season, the head coach asked me, he said, hey, do you want to switch to defense? Because, you know, you hit kids pretty good blocking. I was like, okay, like, maybe we'll see. But then that's when COVID happened. So going home for that whole year of COVID, I was like, man, like, should I switch? Should I? And I was like, you know what? Like, why not? Let's try something new. Let's switch it up. And then, honestly, I switched to defense. I actually went to corner, started my technically senior year because junior year was like a COVID year. But I technically started my senior year for college at corner. And I did great. Honestly, I had most improved defensive player of the year. I finished all mention, all conference, and I had a couple of picks as a corner, which I was like, man, like, hey, we're doing it. So I had a great year. And then I had the opportunity to go back for a plus year, which is also known as a super senior year, just because of COVID. So all athletes got another year of eligibility. And at this time, I was kind of in a crossroads, like, should I not? But with my teammates and my head coach retiring that year, I was like, okay, you know what? This is last dance. This is, you know, last dance. Michael Jordan, we got Scottie Pippen, we got everybody. And from there, we went into a 9-1 season, finishing as conference champs. And, you know, I did it. Like, I wrote my name in the history books. There's a banner hanging on at the college in the auditorium now with class of 2022 conference champs. So I'm happy to say, you know, I have a ring now for that.
I think there's a lot to sort of unpack there, and I think we can go back and talk about a couple things. We'll kind of go back and talk about your high school struggles there. I mean, how did you handle? I went to a couple of your high school games, and I know your parents were heartbroken, kind of watching you play and kind of seeing how they treated you. I mean, how did you handle, I would say, being doubted and being sort of benched and kind of playing a probably four or five different positions that they're kind of shuffling you in and out of? How do you handle that as a high school kid?
As a high school kid, to handle that, I mean, the best thing to do is just to go with the flow. Like, make the uncomfortable comfortable. Like, even if it's something you don't think you can do, like, try it. Like I said, we're trying different sports. You never know, we're trying different positions. Like, that was the whole reason I switched, because I'm like, you know what? I could do it. Having the mindset of saying, I can do this. I get to do this. I'm not that I got to do this. So when you change simple words around, then it's night and day. It's unbelievable what you can do. Because your mind, the only thing that's limiting you is your mind. And honestly, the only thing limiting me was my mind, myself, as well as outside factors I can't control, which was other people. But I can't change their mind. I can only change mine. So I can only control the controllable. So as long as I know that, then I'm good. And just having the mindset of, you know what, I'm an athlete, not just a running back, not just a corner, but I'm an athlete in any given sport, then you're good as long as you have that.
Was there any sort of forethought, kind of talking a little bit about, the dream has always been to go to the NFL or play professional football somewhere. Was there any forethought into, like, this having any effect on you, like, you're not getting the right opportunity to sort of shine, or any sort of thoughts like that?
In high school, yeah, because I, going into my, like, junior and senior year, I finally started to notice more on, like, okay, recruiting is starting to happen, like, sophomore and freshman year for a lot of players, for, like, players that have those stars, two stars, three stars, one star. But then you kind of see more on social media, especially nowadays, that there was zero-star athletes that are, you know, that are famous now, like Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a zero-star athlete out of high school. Like, he had no offers, so I'm just like, okay, like, I'm just an underdog myself on going to a D3 college. I'm like, okay, like, let's go here and see what happens. I know D3 players come out from college to go pro, but I just don't know where. Like, I just don't get it yet until I got to college and I realized, okay, like, I want to keep playing football. I just didn't know how to make it happen until I got to that level.
Was there any sort of conversations that you remember having with your mom or dad or anyone else in your family, mostly in, during those high school days, where you're kind of a little head shooken about being benched or things like that? What was the support look like for that or the conversations?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. The support system was, it was there. I mean, the support system with my mom, dad, my sister, just they all knew the coach was wrong. And my dad was the biggest one of all. He's like, well, guess what? Like, you're going to prove them wrong when you go to college and when you go play for this football team. And everyone is going to just, you know, they're going to eat their own words. They're going to eat whatever it is. But the biggest thing is just don't let it be the motivation. Like, let the motivation be you. If the fire comes from within, then, like, nothing can burn out. Because if I have fire from the outside trying to feed me, like, it's going to burn out eventually. But if I keep my fire alive on the inside of me and just knowing, like, I want to do this, not for someone else, but for myself, then I'm going to be good no matter what.
We can kind of lead up into how we got to that last dance moment. If we remember sort of a little ways back, you said football left a bad taste in your mouth. And Ripon was not in the cards for sure initially in that senior year. What was your initial thoughts after you're finishing up football your senior year? It's probably a lot of turmoil, a lot of regret or sadness that you probably had around the game of football. You're probably a state wrestler, I would assume, in high school for sure. What were your next sort of thoughts after kind of finishing that and trying to choose your next path for your journey?
Okay, so I'm glad that you say this because here's the story. This is the story that it goes. So I went on a college visit to go to Ripon College. I went there. I was like, okay, Wisconsin, like in December, let's see what it's like. It was freezing as out. Let's just put it that way. I went there for my visit. I was like, okay, small campus, small community. I'm like, I don't know. I kind of want to go on some other visits. Really didn't get the chance or opportunity to go on other visits because I was just so busy with wrestling season. And leading up for that wrestling, that state tournament, I sat down and prayed and I made a deal with God. And the deal was if I place first through sixth in state, I'll go to college and wrestle. Like I'll follow that dream. But if I don't, then I'll continue playing football. And honestly, leading up into those matches, I placed seventh. And I broke my hand in the process. I broke one of the phalange bones in the middle. And I was just so devastated. I was hurt. And one of the moments I would never forget is being under the tunnel at the Pepsi Center, which is now known as Ball Arena. And just crying. My dad coming up and hugging me and just telling me that he was so proud of me, that he brought the family name back to state, back to the arena. And he's like, why do you think I named you Julian Herrera? So I could just see my name on the board, on the big screen. I laughed so hard. I was like, gosh, just hugged him. And then I was like, yeah, my hand hurts. I think I broke it. So went to go get that fixed. And then honestly, I was still debating and talking to my dad. I'm like, well, I don't know what I should do. Should I do football? Should I do wrestling? My mom wanted me to do wrestling for everything. She thought I was a better wrestler than a football player for sure, just because she loved cheering me on in the stands. I don't know if it was the yelling or whatnot, but my dad honestly told me, just pray about it. Think about it. You know, the decision is yours. He's like, I don't want you to choose something based off of my choice. And honestly, I love that. And the biggest thing that comes back to me is thought is like, you know, I made a deal. I made a promise. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to do it for a year, see how I like it. And then going to Ripon for that summer, I went out there for like a pre-summer visit or summer orientation. Yeah, summer orientation. I met literally my best friend, like some white boy from Wisconsin, just coolest dude ever, Matt Lapine. I mean, shout out to him. He was my brother from another mother. His family literally took me in. Like, I went to Thanksgivings at his house from the years I was at college. So I met him that summer, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to come here. This is going to be my roommate. We're going to have a good first year. Honestly, that freshman year, had a great freshman year. I mean, I came in on special teams. I came in a little bit on offense to run the ball because I just wanted to be a go-getter. I wanted to be the guy that they're like, oh, who's this guy coming in? Like, it's a new guy, so, you know, of course I'm going to work hard. Of course I'm going to show out. And that's honestly what I did freshman year. Going into sophomore year, let's just say it was a roller coaster for playing time. I will say it was mostly because the coach was like fraternity-wise. I hate to say that, but like I definitely blame that because the other kid, I don't think he was better than me. But that's just another story itself. But let's just say my playing time from the first game started high, went all the way down low like Bitcoin, and then all of a sudden them stocks went back up. So Then stocks went back up, had a good year, finished off. And I was like, you know what? I could play this game. I'm not going to let a coach, because this is even back from high school, I'm not going to let a coach or let someone else determine my feelings for something else, for like a game, for myself, for my life. Like, I don't want someone else to determine my feelings for me. And then going into that last year, like I said, that senior year did great, corner, switch sides, great. But then going into that last year, me and my buddies, I made some new best friends because I switched to defense and just found a new different group. You know, my boy Brad Gill, Quincy De Loreto, Michael Burke, you know, guys I can name off first name and last name, because we just got so tight-knitted together. We became a family. And honestly, that was my cast of characters. Those were the guys that I just knew, like, you know, we want this so bad. We want to win, because we were in the weight room. We were in the weight room on the weekends. We were in the weight room on Sundays. We were in the weight room when we were done, that we wanted to get some more lifts in. We wanted to stretch. We wanted to watch film. We just wanted to do all these things together. And like I said, my coach, he was the head coach at Ripon College for 32 years, and he won 2 conference championships. And we were like, you know what? Like, we got to send him out with a bang. So like I said, like, last dance, here it is. It was the perfect story written, because we had so many super seniors there too because of that COVID year. I think we had maybe 12 or 15. And we all came back because we were like, you know what? We're not done yet. We last season we finished 7-3. We were like, nah, like, we could do better. And then we went all the way up to 8-0, undefeated. Going into that game to try and win it outright, to be undefeated, it was a back and forth game. Let's just put it that way. It was really bad. Refs were not on our side because we were in Illinois. It was super windy. I got an interception that game, which was great. I actually got defensive player that game because I played so well. But just after us losing by a touchdown, it was so heartbreaking. Like, it on the ride home on the bus, it was so quiet and so tense. You could feel in the air, like, nobody was joking. Nobody was saying nothing. And let's just say back in the dorm rooms, you know, Uncle Tito took care of the feelings that night. Let's just put it that way. But then the next week was senior night, and it was everything a football player could dream for. You know, I had my family there, the whole team, the whole town, and we actually beat the team 82-0. No, and that's right, 82-0, and I had a pick six that game, and it was a story written ending. I mean, I was the last one to walk off the field, honestly, just because I wasn't ready to leave where the last 4.5 years made me who I am today.
So an interesting topic here is we both grew up here in beautiful Denver, Colorado. A lot of, I'd say, more diversity than at least a lot more people who look like us. Both of us are Latin, have a little melanin to us. Going to Wisconsin, probably a little bit different. Was there any sort of culture shock there, at least initially stepping onto that campus?
I'll say a little bit of a culture shock, because what was funny was that freshman year, it was literally me, you know, an ethnic kid at a predominantly white college, because it was a private college in Wisconsin. And it was me, literally 3 kids from Chicago, which were Demo, Mavo, and Deontay. So you could guess they were, you know, black. And then we had our boy, Matt, which was a white boy. But let's just say he had that vanilla in him. Like, you could dab him up. He was down for the count. You know, he was like that. But making those friends, it was cool. But they weren't as serious in football as I was. So it was more or less like, to me, it didn't really matter what you looked like, but if you just vibe right. Like, if you're cool, you're cool. If you're a weird kid, you're weird. It doesn't matter. For sure, the culture shock, like, it's gonna be, I was still outgoing. I mean, I was still who I am. I was even actually more outgoing after the years went by, so I could know what to do. Like, obviously, I'm not gonna hang out of the truck and, you know, if the cop drives by me and just do something dumb, but just because, like, I know, I'm like, okay, jokes are like, hey, if a cop pulls me over, hands up, like, just in case. But it was more or less joking on it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I know other colleges might be, but my college experience, as far as the ethnicity and the diversity, I mean, it was awesome. Like, I loved it. I enjoyed my years at college, honestly.
Any sort of, I guess, I wouldn't say regret is the right word, but is there any piece of you that wish you would have went somewhere maybe a little warmer, a little bit nicer outside? Or
so what's funny, the only thing I want to say regret, but the only thing I feel like is I really, really wonder what would have happened if I chose wrestling over football. Like, where would my life be and who would I be today? Because I know for a fact, like, if I chose wrestling, my lifestyle and just thinking mentality, it would just all be different. It would be, okay, like, I am a fighter. Like, I got to get my body ready to fight all the time, to wrestle. Not just to, you know, oh, I could eat this burger and fries. It's protein. It's this. Like, no, those are calories. I can't really have that. I got to make sure I'm on a strict diet, make sure living a more, I wouldn't even say diet. I would say more living a strict lifestyle. And that's the only thing I really say. I wouldn't even say regret, because I would just think about it all the time. But it's just more or less like, damn, like, what would have happened if I did that instead? Just going down a different road.
Yeah, I think we can always sort of speculate what an opposite decision we could have made, how it would interfere with our life. I mean, if we kind of keep going down that path, what if you had become a wrestler, let's say you go to some college, what would be the sort of next step? Let's say you become a successful wrestler in college, just like you did in football. What, at least in your mindset, what do you think would have been next for you after that?
Okay, so two things. One, I would have either tried to like get on the world team and trying to travel the world, try and wrestle in different countries, just spread the love, spread the knowledge of wrestling. Or two, I would have became an MMA fighter and I would have been pro. And then I would have got hit in the face and I would have been like, nah, I'm done. Like, forget this. I don't want to get hit in the face. But no. But honestly, probably the first one. I really would have wanted to just travel the world and spread it. Because honestly, so the biggest thing, like I said with my dad, he always told us kids, you know, when you grow up, you know, why not go to a different college? Why not go out of state? Why not travel the world? Meet new people, try new things. And honestly, that's always been instilled with me since I was a kid, was to try new things, to meet new people. And that's what honestly brought me all the way to Germany.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the travels that you and your family have had, for sure. You guys are a very, very well-traveled family. What do you think has been, at least in your mind, the best experience you've had traveling, we'll just say right now, with your family?
With my family, I would say every time we get the opportunity to go on a cruise, to be honest. I mean, those are so fun. It's a resort on the ocean. Like, being able to go to, I would say, Mexico was fun. It's always fun to go to Mexico. I don't know about nowadays, but we went to Jamaica. That was fun. We went to the Bahamas. That was a blast. But yeah, just trips like that. But what's even more crazy was the solo adventures, was the Dino's adventures, I like to call it, because that's you know, Instagram, YouTube, Dino's adventures. Make sure y'all follow. But anyways, was the adventures. Like, when I went to Germany, I went to Spain by myself, and it was like a movie. It was insane, because I loved it because I was on my own itinerary. I was, you know, the one making the decisions instead of like waiting on somebody or having to wait for someone to go to the bathroom, or let's go do this, let's go do that. I was like, do I feel like doing this? Yeah, let's go do it. Or do I feel like doing that? Yeah, let's go do that. Or hey, I just met someone new. Y'all want to go party? Yeah, let's go party. So, but the only, I would say, bad side about going on solos is that, you know, you don't get to be able to share the experience with your family. Like, that was the only downside of that part.
Is there any sort of, I guess, perspective or sort of thought that you have, like, at least reflecting back on some of your travels, like, the opportunity to do that is like always sort of crazy, no matter where you travel to. I think the opportunity is always amazing to travel somewhere else, experience something new. But what, coming back and sort of reflecting on all your different travels, what does that sort of feel like?
Honestly, the biggest thing reflecting on it was just to know that, like, I'm responsible for myself. It was funny. When I went to Spain, I was like, man, like, I left from the airport because my buddy, he flew home and I flew out there. And I was like, as soon as we kind of disconnected, I went to my terminal, he went to his. I was like, man, I'm by myself. Like, if something bad happens, like, I gotta handle it somehow, some way. Like, if I lose my phone, I'm pretty screwed. If I lose my wallet, I'm pretty screwed. Like, if I get kidnapped, I'm pretty screwed. Because I was over here cliff jumping off, like, these beach rocks. If I break my ankle, I'm screwed. Like, so it was pretty much like, okay, like, just be responsible, like, respect the culture for sure. Like, don't be a dummy. Don't try and, I don't know, just don't be a dummy. Like, don't do things that are not culturally fit, especially in Europe. Let's just say it's definitely different out there. It's definitely more more rules, more custom, more respectful, which I liked. I definitely enjoy, because I'm not that type of guy that's, like, disrespectful. But one thing I will say, like, going on these solo adventures that, like, all in a different country, that not everybody speaks the same language, but everybody understands a smile. So if I smile to somebody, they're gonna smile back and like, oh, that's a cool guy, or that's a nice guy, versus if I just have an angry face on and it's like, oh, like, who's this guy? Is he trouble? Like, what's, like, nah, like, if they see a smile, they're like, oh, he's smiling, I'm a smile too. So it's just spreading out that positivity. Like what you give is what you're going to receive. So I try and give out that positive vibe, that enthusiastic, energetic vibe, and hopefully I can just get it back.
I think this is a great lead way to your first trip to Europe. Let's talk about how you ended up in sort of that GFL league.
Oh yeah. Okay. So even better, I have this story down to the T. So after I was done with football at college, you know, we were just done. I pretty much had to finish up the semester and I was working out with my buddy, but it was just so, the workouts were like, I don't feel a purpose. I don't feel a need. Like, I don't feel that drive. And a teammate of mine from 3 years earlier, when he was a senior, I was a sophomore, he told me, he was like, hey, like, I think you're good enough to go play in Germany, because he was playing out there. And I was all like, in my head, I'm like, man, like, that would be awesome. Like, that would be amazing. So there's a website that you could sign up for a membership. And it's pretty much, honestly, like Facebook, like Tinder, you pretty much put your bio, you put your resume, your film, height, weight, all that good stuff. And you pretty much message coaches in different countries. And you ask them, like, hey, like, do you guys need me on your team? Do you need this? Do you need that? Like, just sell yourself. And honestly, I was like, okay, well, I've been selling myself since high school. I know how to sell myself out of college. So I just started selling myself and came back home, graduated on the dean's list, which was amazing. Didn't think I could do that, but I did. Anyways, coming back home, I had the opportunity to get signed to the Straubing Spiders GFL1. And the head coach was CB Cantwell. He saw my highlight film. We talked on the phone for about an hour. He loved how I was talking about the Lord has just steered me in my direction in life, how I'm a respectful young man, I'm a leader on and off the field. And I was like, bet, let's sign the contract. Let's get it done with. So as soon as I signed that contract, I was like, wow. So I left out to Germany March 15th. I was pretty much out there all 6 months, all the summer. I came back October 5th, so I was out there for like 7 months.
It's an incredible adventure just to go play a pro sport, but across the seas, it's going to be a little bit different. Before we just kind of talk about what athletics are, at least what professional football is, looks like sort of out in Europe, let's talk about before you get that call to go to the Spiders. What was sort of the feeling? Because there was a little bit of a buildup, I think, between the time you kind of finished up football your senior to what am I gonna go do next.
So that in between was honestly just, you know, me getting big with the boys, just benching every day because like we didn't have to do legs anymore. But when I came home from school, it was pretty much just working out, still just chilling and not really knowing. So the biggest thing was the membership. There's like 3 months, 6 months, or a year membership. I signed up for 3 months because I was like, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do in 3 months in time, God's going to bless me on a team. He's going to make something happen. Something's going to happen. If not, if this 3 months expires and I don't get on a team, then, you know, this is God saying, hey, let's move. Let's change direction. Let's change the flow. What are we going to do next? What are we going to go do? We're going to grow up. We're going to be an adult. We're going to get a job, get a career, all that good stuff. But like I said, that message came from CB and I got the call. I wasn't done yet. And I just know in my heart I wasn't done yet neither.
Was there any doubt, at least in your mind, sort of concluding that senior season and the months in between there, that maybe this journey is over?
Honestly, it was right after the game that the journey was over. Like I said, I was the last one on the field. I cried on the field to leave, as probably any senior would. They would understand just, you know, that last feeling of having the pads on and leaving, taking them off, knowing that you're not going to put them on again. Like that feeling was just, it was a happy, sad, bittersweet. It was just everything all in one emotional roller coaster right there. Of, this is it. Like I'm done. Like I've been playing football since I was an 8-year-old and you know, now I got to hang up the pads, hang up the cleats and it's over. But it was a fun journey.
Is there any piece of you that, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about the GFL, but is there any piece of you that wishes you would have taken the opportunity? Because I know the NFL does some of these open sort of tryout things, or the newer football leagues here, the XFL, USFL, do some of these open tryout things. Is there any piece of you that wishes you would have participated in those versus going across these?
Oh, wait, okay. So what's funny is that you mentioned that. So I actually got invited to the American National Combine. And I got invited to that. I got a letter, me and three other players, after that season. And I was stoked. I was hyped. I was like, okay, bet. Like, I'm gonna work out for this, get ready for this. The combine wasn't till May. And I was like, man, that's a long while away from December. I mean, January, February, March, April. And I was like, okay, like, I got time to get ready for it. But I don't even know if anything's going to happen. I actually asked a couple of guys that did it before previously. I was like, hey, did you ever get a call? Did a team ever hit you up? And honestly, a lot of them just told me, like, nah, like, it was just more or less a money grab, which a lot of combines are nowadays. I hate to say it, even for high schoolers, it's more or less just like, unless you are ranked or unless you are known, like, just regular high schoolers, just show up, get their numbers, get a t-shirt, and then just give their paycheck, and that's it. Give their money, and then that's it. Like, they don't really get a call back. So, but as far as, like, getting an NFL tryout or something, like, I mean, I wish I had the connections. I just didn't. It's more or less who you know than what you know. Because who you know is going to get you there, and then what you know is going to keep you there. So I just didn't get the opportunity for that. And honestly, I'm glad I got the opportunity to go to Germany. Like, a lot of D1, D2 players go out there to play. And I'm just one of the small percentages of D3 players to go out there and ball out and just show, like, it doesn't matter what division you come from. A baller's going to ball no matter what.
Yeah, and I think we've talked, you've mentioned a lot of sort of what it was like playing for the Spiders and sort of that experience. What would you say is your experience out there for football? Like, when you say football out there, it means something completely, completely different. He needs to have that American sort of attached in the front. What is, like, the sort of sentiment around it, and what is, like, the fan sort of feeling for around there?
Yeah, so American football. So not football, but, you know, because soccer's out there. But I would say, honestly, what's crazy is that I didn't know football was as big as out there as I thought it was. Like, it's huge. Like, fans love it just because you get to hit. It's the crowd, the feeling of an interception, a touchdown, a first down, the enthusiasm of getting a fourth down stop on the goal line, just all that stuff. Like, the fans love it. And me going out there, I had no clue. I mean, one of the games we won, I ran off I threw my helmet. The crowd loved it just because of who I am and what I do. I was banging on the wall. I was like, let's go. Like, they loved it. And, you know, there's even youth football kids out there, and they see us as NFL players, but with GFL players, so German Football League, and they see us as superstars. Like, I even got stopped at the grocery store by some mom. She said, she stopped me when I was putting my cart away. She was like, oh, aren't you the Mexican Spider? I was like, yeah. I was like, she's like, oh my gosh, can I take a picture? Like, my daughter loves you. I was like, yeah, sure. So I took a picture, but it was just so funny. Like, you won't ever hear that in America. Like, someone stopping you at the grocery store and saying, like, oh, you're the Mexican Spider? Like, well, I guess, like, I am the only Mexican on the team, and I am the Spider. So yeah, I am. So, but it was just so awesome. Like, the fans, the community, just all family, just a family. That's the best way I could say, is that they were like a family out there.
So at least for football players here, if you play in sort of the NFL, you're kind of in another league of, like, fame, and sort of you're larger than life out there, or at least here for football. When you go there, what sort of level of celebrity do you feel like you're at?
Well, the humble me is gonna say, like, not really any, but you're just a little bit higher, just because, like, you're a European, you're an import. You're coming all the way from America to play on a team where there's only three other Americans. So, like, for me and my experience, only four Americans are allowed on a team at a time, and then two Americans are allowed on the field at a time. So there's, you know, you got two on offense. You know, typically they get a quarterback, and then the other one's going to be a running back or wide receiver. On defense, you know, teams usually get a linebacker, a safety, or a linebacker and a D lineman, just to hold that spot, because they want to keep it still German based. They want to keep it German homegrown. They just don't want to bring out 11 Americans to play 11 on 11 American football out there. Like, they want to still have, you know, their own football. So being one of the only Americans on team, and still, like, this is all homegrown sport is football in America. So our skill level is higher and our knowledge is higher, just because we start as little kids and work all the way up from high school to college. But just being on the team, like, I never wanted to be more like the superstar. I just wanted to be one of the guys, just to be the team guy. I wanted to be the glue, the one always uplifting, the one always hyping somebody up. So I never let the fame get to me. On the other hand, I could definitely say our quarterback did, just because he thought he was everything and anything. I'm like, dude, you're going to get humbled. sure shit, he got humbled. Let's just put it that way. And I don't need to speak more on that besides, you know, just kind of just forget, like, we're all human. And, you know, we're all just trying to be here and have fun. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the time. Don't kind of make it more than what it is.
I think the thought of I'm a professional athlete, I think, comes with a lot of what people think that means. I mean, when you talk about professional athletes, at least when you're here, you're talking about the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the MLB, sort of these larger than life athletes. They have all the money and the cars and sort of that situation. What is it like, I guess, playing somewhere else where maybe that's not always true?
I would definitely say doing this, it's not a money grab. It is not. I'm not here to get rich. I'm not here to get famous. I'm honestly here to play the sport I love, to grow the sport I love in a different country, and to just enjoy life, to be more fulfilled than anything, honestly, because going through that time in Germany by myself for those 6 to 7 months, it was definitely a journey. It was a growing point on knowing, you know, I'm young, I am healthy, I am doing what I love. Not a lot of people do. Like, zero, I would say maybe even less than 5, maybe less than 1% get to say they do what they love, more or less. I get to play the professional sport I love. I mean, the typical stats is, you know, like 15% of high schoolers play athletics. Only 7% go to college and play. And then only 0.1% or even 0.01 play NFL. So me playing professional football in Germany and only being one of the select four Americans on a team, I mean, man, like, I feel like I won. I feel like I definitely won. It doesn't matter what the numbers say. I get paid. I get a housing. I get my plane bought. I get work. They pay for my work visa, my gym membership. I'm getting everything that a professional athlete should get. But I'm not complaining about it. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it.
Is there any piece of you? Because does it feel like there's any disconnect between you and at least your German teammates? For them, I mean, football, at least here in America, American football is a different beast. It's you Sundays and Saturdays are shut down basically in towns for just that sole purpose. Going over to Europe, it's not quite the same level as that, because they're playing a little bit of a different football, and that can happen sort of any day of the week. But what does it feel like there was any disconnect between you and your German teammates?
And that's funny that you say get any day of the week, because that is definitely what happened on some of the games. As far as disconnect, I mean, a lot of them drank either, I want to say before, but a lot of them drank after practice. Like me and the Americans, like that's their culture, that's their tradition, is to just always have a beer. I mean, it's Germany. So me and the guys, me and the Americans, we bought cases of beer for offense and defense, because we were like, you know what, like, we're the new guys on the team, we're the new ones, so like, we're gonna be here, we hope you can accept us more than anything. Like, we're not here to try and accept you. Like, this is your team. Like, we're coming to your town. So as far as a disconnect, there wasn't really any. Like, we connected right off the bat. Like, it was a family. The only thing they really just didn't get was like, okay, you guys got to show up to practice and you got to, like, know what you're doing. Instead of like, oh, I want to play. Okay, do you know the playbook? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what your job is, your assignment? Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys out in Germany that could play D1, that could play D2, D3. Like, there's some good players. But then there's some that's like, what year is this? So your first year? Yeah. It looks like your first year. Like, it looked like that. But, like, and then what's funny is that you said any given Sunday. So a quick story was, like, we had a festival in our town called Volkfest, and it's like Oktoberfest. And it was 11 days straight, you know, from 10 a.m., to 10 p.m. midnight at night, just straight up drinking, beer tents, you got roller coasters, you got funnel cakes, you got, you know, just whole shebang. People in their lederhosens, all that good stuff. I admit, I went for 4 days of the week. I went for vier. Vier is four in German. So I went for 4 days straight. And I was like, okay, like, you know, ich bin Bayern. I am Bavarian. I'm German. But then I was like, okay, leading up to the game, that like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was like, okay, you know, I gotta make sure I'm good. Going into that game that Saturday, we're playing the number one team in the South. And I'm like, man, we're going to get our asses beat. Like, I know for a fact all the other teammates have been drinking. My teammate, Jackson, he's playing now for the Prague Lions. Shout out to him. But he made a deal. He's like, hey, if we win, you got to buy 23 shots. I was like, okay, deal. In my head, I'm like, okay, we're not going to win. Sure as shit, we came out that Saturday. came out hot. We got a field goal. I got a pick, picked off the QB, ran it back a little bit. Running back finished it out, got a touchdown. We're up 10-0 against the number one team at halftime. I'm like, okay, bet. Third quarter rolls around, and let's just say it went in the whole opposite direction. Like, it went bad. They got a touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. We fumbled, you know. Next thing you know, it's 31-10. We're like, oh, shit, what happened? Fourth quarter rolls around, and then this is what's different between American and German football. Our head coach, he subbed himself in to play quarterback. And I was in awe. I was like, okay, it's about time. Like, because he played quarterback the season before, became head coach that season. And I'm like, hey, let's do it. Like, it's go time. Like, show them why you should be quarterback instead of just a head coach. Hey, it was a Tim Tebow moment. This man threw two touchdowns. I'm saying 40 yards out. One was 4th and 15. Our running back ran in a 50-yard touchdown. And then next thing you know, a defense shows up. I don't know how in the fourth quarter. We must have put that four up. And then going into the last drive, it's 31-28. Our running back runs it up, you know, minute left. Next thing you know, we throw a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. They call it good. Crowd goes crazy. 10 seconds left. We kick off, and the ball doesn't go in the end zone. It's not a touchback. So the guy runs it out, and I see him. I'm like, okay, I got to get him. So I beeline it straight to him. I hit him. I grab the ball so he doesn't try and pitch it. Next thing you know, it's like a pitching game. Get tackled, down, that's it. We won the game. Crowd's going crazy. I'm going crazy. It was all on TV. I even got on the interview after with the TVs and pretty much said, hey, it took offense, took defense, special teams. It just took all of us. That's why we're called one team, one family. Like, it took all of us. So that's just a little bit of their culture and their experience. But, hey, sure shit, we definitely got those shots after. Let's just say that. Partied with the team as we should.
Is there any piece of you at least reflecting back on this? I don't know how much you've really thought about this, but there is some, maybe, and if we're believing in a multi-universe, there's some universe where this doesn't happen for you. You don't go play football, you go into wrestling, or you don't sign up for that website, or something else happens. You don't get to experience this experience. And I know we're not in camera, but the excitement and the joy that he has just sort of expressing himself and expressing this play, it's very electric. Is there any piece of you at least that thinks about that?
Honestly, a piece of me that thinks all the time is when I was in my last relationship with my ex. It was somebody I first got with, and I loved truly, dearly, and I just thought, you know, this is the one. This is who I'm going to build a life with, who I want to be with, and all the wrong things all happened just continuously throughout the motion. And I was like, okay, like, this just isn't it for me. And my dad kept telling me. And the biggest thing, like, in my relationship was, like, my mom and sister, for sure. Like, those are the women in my family. They're not going to like who the baby is going to be with, like me. But the biggest one was my dad. My dad didn't like her. And for me, like, my dad likes everybody. Like, we were talking about earlier. And knowing that my dad didn't like the girl I was with because he saw what she was going to do to me, not like what I would do to her, because I would never like do anything bad towards a woman, but like what she would do for me just mentally and for my life, he just knew that wasn't was supposed to happen to me. And him just always telling me that and being in my ear, I was like, okay, like, yeah, like this. So finally I just had to end it. I had to say, like, this isn't it for me, or else, let's just say, we wouldn't be here talking. I would probably have a kid right now. Like I said, I'll be probably working a 9-to-5. I would be doing something totally different in my life. I wouldn't be able to travel the world and just to meet new people and try new things.
Could you even imagine not being able, not doing what you're doing right now, having a completely different set of jobs, whether you're personal training or doing something else, content creation, whatever else it may be, that you don't get to prepare for that sort of, I'm going into a game sort of situation anymore?
I mean, just having it's having a different life in general would be a night and day. I don't even think I would have the same mindset that I will right now, because all the ups and downs that I've been through with the relationship, with being on a team, being in a different country, being by myself, like, those are those valleys, those ups and downs where you learn the most, where you grow the most. Like, I grew the most when I was out in Germany, because honestly, there was a time frame out there where I was really depressed. Like I wasn't happy. I was like, man, like I hate it here. Like I hate the language. I hate the food. I hate it, everything. But my dad always tells me is, you know, change the mode, change the direction, change. And whatever it is, just change. Change the way you look at it and the way you perceive it, and things will get better. And him telling me that, like, I just didn't get it. I didn't get it until I finally started to do those changes. Until I started to, you know, this is my life. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just going to have fun. I'm doing what I love. Like, I think that was the biggest thing. I was so worried, like, man, I got to be making money. Man, I got to be doing this. I got to be doing that. It's not like, no, I don't got to be doing it. Like, I get to wake up and I get to do what I love. I think that's the one thing that I love the most was I get to. I mean, not a lot of people say they can do that. Like they got to go to work and pay these bills and keep this house, feed their family. Like I don't have to do those things. I don't got things holding me down. Like I had nothing holding me down in Denver, in Colorado, even in the United States to limit me to go to Germany. Like that's why I'm still going back, because I have my family. My family is always going to be with me on my heart. So with me, like, that's not a problem. So me going back to Germany for my second pro season, I just know I'm going to go back over there stronger, because I know what I'm going to get into. I know how to handle it, and I know what I'm going to do this time around.
Like I said, family for both me and you is super important, and you've been surrounded by them for pretty much all your life. Even when you went to Wisconsin, they were going to at least 6, 7, 8 of your games a season. Now that they're not there with you, you are 8 hours away, at least in time zones. How long did it take you to build up sort of that they're here with me, but they're not with me sort of mentality?
In high school, I mean, they were always there. But when I went off to college in Wisconsin and they weren't there for, you know, the freshman year, because I wasn't really playing. So it's like, why would they really come to some games? But it was from that point, I was like, okay, like, you know, I know they're still watching me on TV somehow on the live stream. I know that they're still watching. I would always pray before the game just to wish good health and good fortune. Just I could play my best ability. And then the biggest one was my grandma. My grandma, I would always tell her in high school was to, hey, make sure you put an egg under the bed for good luck. Just like it's an old little Mexican like wise tale. Like, oh, you put an egg under your bed so you have good health, but or when you're sick. But with her, I told her, like, hey, put it under your bed so I can win. And, I mean, sure thing, when I was in wrestling, she would always do it, put an egg, and I would always win. Because, like, in high school, I went 42-1 my senior year, so I had a great wrestling career. That's why my mom thought I was a good, better wrestler. But then going to college, my grandma gave me a plastic egg and wrote on it saying, like, you know, put this egg under your bed for good luck. And she gave me a note. I taped the note to the egg, and all of college, I always prayed with the egg, put it in my bed before the game. And I want to say we won every game, but let's just say I had good health every game. Something always good happened. And even when I went to Germany, I brought that egg with me so it could always be there with me and always remind me. I always bring little trinkets to remind me of my family. If it's a little owl that my sister gave me out of high school so I could study hard and be good in school. I mean, always having that with me. I have pretty much tattoos of my family on me. If it's my mom, my dad, I even have ashes of my Uncle Bobo on my thigh. So he's always with me because he was always good in my life. So he's always with me now. And then again, even having your grandma, Zach, having her give me the Lady of Guadalupe cross. And I brought that with me to Germany so I could always remind that. And even your grandpa Ricardo giving me a German book saying, you know, good luck, D, go ahead, speak that Deutsch. So definitely learned a little bit more Deutsch since I was out there. But, you know, just always having things to remind me of them, like, that's the best part was they're never gone. They're never not there because I always think about them.
Yeah, and we can bring it in a little bit to a little bit closer to present day. I mean, life keeps on giving. You have a great season in Germany your first year. A lot of ups and downs there, a lot of learning at least that first year. Then you get hurt again. You have to go have surgery coming back home. What's sort of the mindset now, or at least coming back home with surgery being done to you?
I tell you what, I finished in the league top 25 and I led my team in tackles. I was actually shocked I did that. I was like, okay, bet. Like, that's awesome. Like, thank you for the season. Thank you for myself. But then coming back home for the surgery and just having, like, I just honestly felt like I failed. I felt like I failed everybody when I came back home hurt versus coming back home, you know, as a hero's welcome. Like, man, like, I did that. I'm good. I'm just going to be working out, getting in shape. It's like, nah, well, now I got to start all over. Now I got to, you know, I can't even lift my arm up. Now I got to, like, move it. I got to move a stick in my other arm just to move this arm. And it was just really a lot of, I guess I could say torture, because it was more like I felt defeated. I felt hurt. A lot of praying, a lot of manifestation, a lot of writing down on, like, okay, like, I want to make this a goal. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep striving. I can't give up. If I give up, then that's it. Like, I can't lay here. I could, yeah, I'll cry right now. I'll cry for sure. I definitely cried. But then it's like, okay, got to wipe them tails off and keep on moving. Just like Dory says, just got to keep on swimming. So I just kept on swimming.
Was there any piece of you that after that happened that was like, well, this is it again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt like that was it. I was like, not even who am I without football, but who am I without fitness? Like, I couldn't even do a push-up. I couldn't even bench. I couldn't even do a pull-up. I couldn't do anything that I find enjoyment in life in me. And it just felt so bad. But then, honestly, for me, I just still feel like it's part of God's plan on, like, hey, like, you know, I did this to you for a reason. You know, I'm slowing you down in life. I'm slowing you down to realize, hey, like, it could be taken away like that. It could be taken away in a snap of the fingers, that nothing in life is permanent. So enjoy it. Don't be hung up on the sadness, on the hate, on someone else not liking you, on what someone else did to you. So it was more or less on, like, just me enjoying it and just being in the moment, really basking in it. And I think that's one thing I've definitely learned, is to enjoy the moment, enjoy the process, especially the working process of right now, because right now is writing the story. I mean, we're still walking in this journey. You're walking in my journey. I'm happy I'm be able to have this platform and have your platform to share my journey with you and everybody else on here that's listening.
Yeah, that's sort of why I created that. I think there's a lot of people out there who have different journeys and sort of mindsets. And I would never say that you're unsuccessful. Like, I'm very proud of how far you've come and what you've dealt with and what you've been able to do. The one thing I do want to touch on that I don't think we really touch on much is sort of the professional athlete mindset. I don't think people understand what that means, or they have a sort of a piece of the idea of what it means to be a professional athlete. And like we kind of talked about, you know, battling injuries is one of the toughest things, because that's your livelihood. That's what you want to do. That's your passion. That's sort of your life out there, and having that taken away is really tough. Is any other insight for aspiring professionals, or even maybe for yourself, what does it mean to have a professional athlete mindset?
So to have a professional athlete mindset, and this is high schoolers, middle schoolers, college, like anyone that's listening to this, like I hope you could like really hear this and listen, is that the mindset of having it is to just know that like you can do it, knowing that it just takes day by day. If you don't think you're ready now, just wait. You're going to be ready. Just having that ability to trust yourself, to build that confidence up, and knowing like, man, like it doesn't matter what happens as far as like, if anybody says like, oh, that's a 5-star athlete, oh, he's really good. I mean, there was times in college where I went against somebody that was, you know, oh, he's gonna moss you, oh, he's gonna dog you. I had teammates like saying that to me, and I'm like, okay, like we'll see, like we'll find out. And he sure didn't. Like, I held him to -9 yards, and just one of those things is have confidence in yourself and trust yourself. Don't listen to the outside noise, because the one you're always with is the person in the mirror. Night, day, when you wake up, when you sleep, even when you work out, like no matter what, that's the person who you're talking to. So you got to build that person up. Don't ever down talk yourself, because that is toxic. That's subconsciously, like, that's going to be bad. It's better to build yourself up and to build yourself knowing like, okay, like I am the best. That was one of the mottos that we always said in wrestling growing up, and in youth wrestling, was to say like, I'm the best. And when you say that you're the best, like you start to believe it when you say it over and over.
What would you say goes into sort of the sacrifices that you have to make as a professional athlete? I mean, coming out of high school, I also wanted to go into professional sports or whatnot, but even myself, I didn't understand what that sort of meant or what the sacrifices I had to take really were. What sort of things would you have to say for that?
As far as sacrifices, I would say the biggest one is just know, like, if you want to do this dream, like, yeah, you're going to have to make those sacrifices of not going out to party, not going to do this drug or drink this, or, you know, give your time away to this chick or this dude just because you want to be with them. You want them to like them, or even that group. I mean, that's the same thing with a group, of having that influence of being, What's it called? Where's the peer pressure? Not being peer pressured into doing something you don't feel is right, that you don't want to do. And honestly, for me, it's just don't follow the crowd. Like I said, just be that leader. If you're the only one staying in the weight room after everybody else leaves, hey, props on you. You do that. If you're the only one, you know, in the classroom studying and everyone else is, you know, doing something else, hey, props on you. Like, you do that. And I think that was one of the sacrifices that I had to make was I wasn't the biggest. I'm not the fastest. I'm not the strongest. But guess what? I'll go out there and I'll beat that ass over and over just because that's my mindset of being a warrior. Like, it doesn't matter size or strength. I mean, look, like in the Bible, you got David and Goliath. I mean, just like that. That's the one of the biggest examples I could say.
Sort of finishing up here a little bit. I mean, we've talked a little bit about kind of your past and where we're at present. Let's say you have a great career in football. You play 10, 15 years, sort of looking afterwards. I mean, is that even something that you've considered or something that you've thought about or are at least kind of thinking about setting yourself up for sort of that after football, whenever it may happen?
So there's some guys I know in the German Football League that have been playing up to like 32 years old. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, damn. That's old. And I'm 25 here, and everyone I talk to, they're like, oh, you're a baby at 25. And I'm like, okay, like, I appreciate that. My knees and back don't think I'm a baby, but I still appreciate that. And like, just hearing that, knowing I have time, that, you know, I got my college degree, I got my personal training certificate, you know, whatever I do after football, I know I'll be fine because I got my personality, I got my energy, I got my spirit, I got who I am that makes me me. And I just know whatever I do, and like, I'm going to go 100% in. But as far as playing football, you know, I'm just going to keep playing, keep spreading the knowledge I have for the game as well as my mission I have with God on, you know, he's done it all for me on getting me to this point, on believing, having faith. And yeah, just I definitely just want to keep playing until I can't. I mean, I hate to say that, but maybe not until I hit my 30s, maybe a couple more years in Germany, because I still want to travel the world and see new people and new countries.
Yeah, let's take it back. Maybe let's go back 20 something years. If you were to go back in time and sort of talk to your younger self, do you think a young Dionysio would be proud of who he is today?
I think he would be in shock. He would be in shock how far we've came from. Like I said earlier, my speech impediment problem to my ears, to my glasses, because they were like bug eyes glasses. You could burn ants with them. From just my whole body, my whole confidence, not being shy. Like, he would be proud. And honestly, that's funny that you say that, because I kind of asked myself that question the other day. I was like, well, what I'm doing right now and playing football still at 25 years old, not a lot of guys get to say that, at least for a professional level. It's not semi-pro. It's not nothing like that. Like, I'm getting paid to play. I don't pay to play. I'm getting to do this. And I think he would, I mean, I would give the little guy a hug. I mean, that would be me, but let's just say that we're both happy.
I mean, we all have sort of dreams as what we want to be, especially as a young kid. If you were to show up as a professional football player, maybe not in the NFL, would younger you think that is okay, or does it feel like you fell short somewhere?
I think he would be shocked that there's football in Germany. But after I tell him how much friends we made over there and how much memories that we made, and I mean, hey, you never know. I might even meet my future significant other out there. I think he would just be down for it, because who I am when I was little is the same me now, just more grown, more mature, and just more handling in situations that life has to throw at me. But he would definitely be happy.
I guess sort of looking back, you've dealt with a lot of doubt, you've dealt with a lot of injury, your family's always there to support you, but like you said, it's always, unfortunately for in life, we have a lot of outside people supporting us, trying to bring us down or whatever, but at the end of the day, you have to live with the man in the mirror, the man that lays in that bed every night. Is there any piece of you that, I guess, I wouldn't say regrets, but wishes he would have done something else somewhere along this journey that would have improved what you have now? Or are you completely content with what you have now? And I know that's hard coming definitely as a professional athlete, because the one thing I know, at least as an athlete myself, is I'm never satisfied with where I am, whether it's for me, it's basketball, whether it's I'm missing a shot or something like that. I'm always trying to improve myself What is that like for you?
I mean, shit, I wish I didn't mess up my shoulder, but besides that, I mean, yeah, there's always that thought, like, I wish I did this, I wish I did that. I should have done this, I should have done that. I mean, that's the hard part, but it's more or less the lesson learned on, like, okay, I know what to do for that next time. Like, when I go back to Germany, okay, I know how to deal with this 17-week-long season. I know how to handle my body better, to treat it better so I could be able to handle it, because it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress on the body. So I just know how to handle it better. I know how to handle those better times alone. I mean, last time I brought out a paint set, I didn't even paint. I don't know why the hell I brought out paint. But as far as that, you know, it's just more or less learning. I mean, it's just like a wrestling match for me, or even like a football game. You watch film, you know what you did wrong, you clean it up, and then you get back after it.
Is there any piece of your journey that you would absolutely 100% go back and say, I would change that, if we're just kind of disincluding the injuries or the path or any of the sort of the things that maybe were not in your control for the most part? Like, maybe you go to a different high school, maybe you go to a different college, maybe you sign for a different team or do something else completely. Is there any of that you would think about?
You know what? If I could start completely over, I might have went to a different high school. I would have went to a better high school with more resources, a better program for football and wrestling, all in all. But yeah, I think I would have done that the most, just because it would change everything to this day. But I mean, I feel like me making that decision to go to that other high school instead, the one I went to, I mean, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be right here. But that's just the question, you know. It's like, what if? I mean, I'm pretty sure Marvel already made a show about that, what if. So it's a really good question.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of like to, at least I ask myself a lot of what if questions. It doesn't change anything of what we are going to do, at least, or what we've been through today. A lot of the questions of what if I have are always more about the future, like, what if I would have done this yesterday than today for myself.
You know, I think about that when I go to the casino. I was like, damn it, I should have bet on black. It's like, but yeah, no, for sure.
I have the last sort of couple questions here. Is the first thing I would like to ask is, one, what would you say has made the biggest influence in your life? And two, is there any sort of advice that you wish you'd gotten earlier that you know now?
So I say one of the biggest influences on my life is my high school coach, Isaiah Tatum. He is the one that made me believe in myself more, that made my faith grow even stronger, because he has a brand called God Got Me, God Got You. And it just really instilled that champion mindset in me, that warrior, that fighter mindset in me even more, because he went through it. I mean, he was a champion, but then he got a car crash, and you know, he was in the hospital. Like, he should have been a vegetable, the doctors told him, but he said God told him to wake up, and he did. And he got back out on the mat the next year. He was better. And I'm like, man, like, his story is so inspiring and inspired me. And just his energy and charisma, it's contagious. Like, he was just so hyped up, and I was like, man, like, he got my heart beating, pumping. Like, so him being there for me, and like, I mean, I have a wristband, I have it all around my room, I even have it tattooed on my chest, God got me, God got you. And I even have a football towel with his emblem on it. And the funniest thing is, I lost it like three times in Wisconsin, one time in Germany, and I was so shocked that I always got it after the game. Like, I somehow, some way, I always found it. And I just know, I always kiss it, and I'm just like, man, like, it's just, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. So him always saying, like, God got me, God got you, like, that's just been one of the biggest influences on my life. And then what was the second question?
Second question was, is there any piece of advice that you know now that you wish you would have had earlier?
Advice I wish I knew now that I wish I knew earlier was just to always, always do your best. Like, no matter what. Even if it's like the smallest thing, because you never know who's watching. You never know what's going to play out. If you do your best, then the rest is going to take care of itself. I mean, for me, that's the biggest one.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece of advice. I think, at least for myself, I think hard work and at least dedication can take you a lot of different places and open a lot of doors for you, or at least give you the opportunities to do some things that you never thought were imaginable, or at least put you in the running for that. As we know, at least me and you and a couple others and some other people that follow the GFL, you're leaving for Germany here in a couple weeks. Are we excited for that? Are we ready to go for that?
Dude, I'm pumped up. March 25th is going to come up quicker than it sounds. I mean, I hope this podcast comes out very soon. But yeah, March 25th, man, I'm headed back out to Germany. I have a month of preseason training camp pretty much. And then our first game is May 20th. They call it a friendly game, friendly scrimmage. I mean, same thing, but yeah.
Yeah, Europe friendly really means exhibition game. Friendly is a soccer term or football term for the foreigners out there. Thank you just kind of sitting down, making this time for me, kind of doing this. Like I said, your journey is inspirational, mostly because of how far you've come and what you've had to deal with to get to where you're at now. Like we talked about, maybe it's not the place you thought it was going to be initially kind of growing up, but you're in a place where you're very happy, you're doing what you love, you're following your passion, you're traveling, doing sort of everything you love, kind of at least in a bundled up package. Is there anything else that you wish to say or wish to share before we go here?
Yeah, the only thing I would want to share with others is, you know, definitely keep that dream alive, write it in your notebooks, write it in a planner, whatever it is. Because when you look back on it, like 5-10 years from now, you're going to realize, wow, did I follow that dream when I was a kid, or did just life change me, pass on to do another dream, to pursue something else? Because you just never know where life is going to take you. But Zach, I definitely want to say thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm extremely privileged and humbled that, you know, I'm one of your first guests. So I'm just happy and thankful.
Before we head out here, tell people where they can find you. We kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier on. I'll tag it down in sort of all the description text, but just so you feel good and you can kind of get it out there, promote yourself.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, you know, he said it, name's Denicio Herrera, but you know, they just call me Dino because it's Dino's Adventures. That's the at for Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's Dino's Adventures 5 because we're number 5. Facebook is also Denicio Herrera, just in case for the ones out there that don't know.
Yeah, no, thank you for your time again. This has been Let's Take Your Journey. Like I said, this is our first sort of guest kind of talking, just having a little bit of a conversation. Every other episode should be very similar to this, just conversation, kind of lighthearted, talk about how people got to the places that we are. We talked a little bit about Donicio today. Maybe we'll follow up, depending on how this goes in the future, to kind of talk a little bit more about what his journey has turned out to be. And if anything, maybe we'll tag up with him when he comes back again, just talk about some of his journeys back in Germany. But he'll have some more travels there. Keep following along with him. Thank you for listening. Next episode, we'll be back with another guest. Thank you, guys.